Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. C.S. Lewis wrote about change. He says, "It may be hard for an egg to turn into a bird. It would be a jolly sight harder for it to learn to fly while remaining an egg. We are like eggs at present, and you cannot go on indefinitely being just an ordinary, decent egg. We must be hatched or go bad." Today's guests have encountered change. It began with news that changed a young collegiate woman's life. But before we get into that, you'll hear about it, of course. Let me just introduce them to you. Darren Maurer graduated from Punahou in 1979. That's a very special class because of someone in the White House today. He went on to Stanford, where he played basketball for 3 years and graduated with an engineering degree in 1983. He's also a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary. He's married to Allison, and they have 4 children, Margaret, Christopher, John, and Ashley. And no, John is going to be playing basketball at the Iolani Classic.
Yay!
Hey! They've ministered with Campus Crusade for Christ for 24 years. The past 5 years, Darren has ministered to businessmen in Houston, Texas, as the founder and executive director of Logos Leaders Outreach Ministry. He disciples and mentors men in the Word of God. Suzanne Maurer grew up in Salem, Oregon. She's been the program director of the Waterhouse Lecture Series and on the steering committee of the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast, and former Christian education teacher at Kamehameha Kapalama's elementary school. You'll know her as Kahuku Kana.
Yay.
She's married to Dr. Roland Maurer. They have 4 children, and one of them is here, her son Darren, along with Rick, Steve, and Kathy, and a slew of wonderful grandchildren. Darren and Suzanne, welcome to our show.
Thanks, Danny.
Aloha, Danny. It's a joy to be with you again.
Suzanne, let's bridge a gap of a program, actually, that you did with us earlier.
Yes.
But take us back to the young collegiate woman's change and how it relates to my other guest sitting here beside you. Darren.
If it's all right, I'd like to start by saying that for my 40th birthday, Darren gave me a beautiful life application. No, excuse me. It was the New American Standard Open Study Bible, which is a treasured copy of the Word of God, for my 40th birthday. And the night before, it just happened that Darren and I were home alone. The rest of the family was out, I think, putting signs up that Suzanne will be 40, please call her, which they did.
Express your sorrow.
Yes. Everyone in black, but that's okay. And when Darren was a little boy, I actually wrote a letter to Ann Landers, who was well known at that time, and asked her how and when to tell my son about his conception. It was something that troubled me. I didn't think about it a lot, but it was there. And she wrote back a one little paragraph, typewritten, if you remember typewriters, statement that said, "Dear Suzanne, good luck, dear. You will know how and when at the right time. Ann Landers." And
that's it.
That was it. And I looked at that paper for a long time. But again, I didn't think about it a lot. But as only our Lord works, without thinking about it, as Darren was sharing his excitement at Stanford, he'd just finished his freshman year, and his new acceptance of Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he was just so excited, and we were just talking along, and that was the time that God chose for me to share with him that he'd been conceived through a date rape situation when I was in college. And his response was, well, Mom, tomorrow you're going to get a gift that's going to help you understand all of this. And I thought, wow, because I had no idea what that gift was. And I thought, that wasn't bad at all. So first thing, the next morning, I opened up that gift, and it was the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Changed my life forever.
Mm-hmm. Darren, tell us your story. She mentioned Stanford University. Mm-hmm. How did you become a Christian?
Well, I grew up really into basketball, and that could be a little bit because of the disconnect with my original dad, my natural dad, and then my new dad was kind of strict, and so for whatever reason, I just, basketball became an outlet, and I don't know if it was because of the fathers in my life or just because I liked the game so much, but from about 3 years old, I remember I really liked to shoot baskets, and so I would just pretty incessantly shoot baskets, and then my new dad that I'm so grateful for got me a basket when I was 10 years old, I think. Right, Mom?
Yes.
And so he put it up, he made it exactly 10 feet tall. And then the neighbor across the street said he could go to bed at night and set his alarm by the exact time I would stop dribbling the ball and shooting, because I just played till the very last minute. And I just really enjoyed that. And it was, again, an outlet and something I could do by myself. And so I just got to be pretty good. And I remember one time playing at, KAC, right? It was John Goez and
yes.
Some other people that Hawaii folks might
probably
know.
Probably at Holy Nativity
Gym. Yeah,
Holy
Nativity Gym. And some guy came up, and I had some good games there. And one guy was, I think, trying to recruit me for Punahou. And
yes.
I didn't really understand. It was just this man was talking to me, and I didn't understand. He wasn't doing anything inappropriate, but I eventually kind of got the idea that Punahou had good sports, and so I wanted to go to Punahou for their sports. I didn't really know much about their academics or anything like that, but basketball just was this driving force in my life. So I ended up going to Punahou, and from about seventh grade on, I was good friends with President Obama. We didn't know he'd be president one day. He just had that same passion for basketball. And so we would play one-on-one. In fact, in my high school yearbook, he has a picture of us playing basketball together that he drew the picture, and he has his black hand and my white hand together. But my white hand is a little bit higher, and he put Maurer quick releasing over Obama.
Wow.
And it's kind of a good statement of my whole life up to that point. It was just playing basketball, just competing, and we just lived for basketball together with a couple other guys. We had this kind of a group. But Barry Obama, he was known as Barry back then, was with me. The two of us were the basketball nerds of our whole school. And we got really teased a lot about that. So the point being that from pretty much 3 years old on until I graduated from high school, my main thing I really liked to do was basketball. It's at least an outlet. And I got into school enough that I got to go to Stanford, and I didn't get recruited. We didn't actually play much in high school. We were kind of on the bench because our coach had this really good team that you alluded to. We had a 79, not only had Barry Obama, who became president, but we had Boy Eldridge, Daryl Gabriel, Danny Hale, Larry Tavares.
John Kamana.
John Kamana. Prior to that, the late Mark Twine, junior year. And so we just...
You're going down a Hall of Fame list.
Yeah, so these guys were so good. So the coach didn't really have to play the guys that were kind of out of control, like me and President Obama. So we just rode the bench. And so the pain of that was really hard on me. And so even, again, in this yearbook that President Obama wrote about me with the picture he drew, he wrote about something about me learning how to relax because I was so intense. And so... We both had this kind of anger about it all and just kind of a frustration that wouldn't go away because we had wasted, it would seem, so many years of our life pouring ourselves into basketball, and we didn't even start for our high school team. Mm-hmm. Well, I get to Stanford, and then I don't even have the heart to go watch him play because I just really was sad. And so I went to one game, and I left at halftime, and I couldn't take it. But at the end of my freshman year, the good pickup games on campus were with the varsity. And so I just decided I might as well just give it a shot. Just go play with those guys. And one of the guys told the coach, there's a kid here who's playing really good basketball. You should check him out. Well, I didn't have the heart to tell these people that I didn't even start for my high school team back in Hawaii. So I just kind of went along. You know, they were thinking I was a really good player. And, you know, because I, you know, I'll call President Obama Barry if it's okay. Because when I grew up, we were just Barry and Darren. And so we went to basketball camp together. We learned really good skills. And so when I finally had the chance to show it in these pickup games, there was something there that was usable. If a coach could come along and just take the little bit of talent that was there and some of these skills that I learned at these basketball camps and all these pickup games that I played in, you know, as a kid, and all the hours shooting alone, well, I think you could have had a pretty decent basketball player. So somebody saw that potential and they took a chance on me. They said, we'll let you try out as a sophomore. And we're not going to promise you anything.
An invitation to try out for the Stanford Cardinals basketball team.
I mean, Danny, you would not believe it because, you know, you could be a great high school player from not just Hawaii, but anywhere and not get even an offer to play Stanford basketball.
Well, people today, and for very good reason, talk about a story of a young quarterback coming up from Kalaipohaku and a quarterback named Marcus Mariota.
Yes.
Not playing until his senior year. Well, when we come back, Darren, we've got to drive further on into the great road into your story.
Well, because that's the part that when God first became real to me was because they made me this offer that I couldn't even believe.
Well, you're going to hear about that from Darren Maurer himself. His dear mother is sitting in studio. She actually took the first couple pitches and she knocked it out of the park. When she talked about how through a very unseemly, even perhaps an untimely situation, God used that in a timely way to bring forth this man, Darren Maurer, in studio today. Hey, look, there's untimely moments in our life, or so we think, but God, in the midst of change, is actually creating opportunity. When we come back, you'll hear more from Darren and Suzanne Maurer. You don't want to miss this now, okay? So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home. So afraid that you will.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042. There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So let's say you're at a point in life where it's frustration. You're frustrated. Well, maybe it's more than frustration. You're saying it's frustration, but you know that there's something a lot deeper. And every once in a while, something will leak out or it'll spew out. Maybe an anger, maybe some rage that comes out or some weird thought that you have. And you don't really know where it's coming from because it's so deep-seated. Well, maybe it's an outlet for you in a sport. Maybe it's something else. You know, you can put whatever you want in that blank space. But you know what I'm talking about. And so I ask you, could this passion, could this outlet be something, even in the midst of the frustration, be something that God is using to direct you, perhaps even closer to himself? Mm-hmm. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Darren Maurer is here with me today. I'm very grateful to see my friend who I haven't seen for a long time, and his mother, Suzanne Maurer, in studio with us. You can find out more about our program at thegoodlifehawaii.com. In fact, to find out more about Darren Maurer and his ministry, Logos Leaders Outreach, Darren, what's your website?
LogosLeadersOutreach.org.
LogosLeadersOutreach.org.
And Logos is spelled L-O-G-O-S, and it's Logos, because it's the soft O's in Greek. So, just for your information.
Well, you know, in Hawaii, we just Logos Bookstore is the way people say it, right?
But exactly.
Logos is the Greek way of pronouncing. Darren, take us back.
Okay.
You're at Stanford. You couldn't bear to watch a basketball game because you're still, you know, in the disturbance of what it was like in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But then you play a game, you know, kind of like a pickup game, it seems. But take us from there. What happened?
So I was playing in all these pickup games, and all of a sudden, there's a coach on the court. And somebody's saying, hey, good job, coach. And the coach is guarding me. And I realized they're checking me out because they heard from the other player. One of the players kind of went to the head coach, I guess, and said, hey, you should check out this guy. He's a good player. And so I got a call, and the head coach said, hey, we want to offer you we're going to give you a chance. We can't offer you for sure a scholarship, but we want you to come back as a sophomore and try out. And the day he did that, I went to the church at Stanford, and we had grown up in a mainline denominational church, and so I kind of knew there was a possibility of God, but no relationship with him. And so I sat there in this huge church at Stanford. It's beautiful, kind of a Gothic style, with a high ceilings. And I looked up at those ceilings and I thought, this is a big, big open area. Maybe in all this space, there's a God. And I thought, you know what? This is the biggest kind of moment I've ever had for basketball. God, if you're there and you put me on this team, I'll tell everybody you did it. And I gave him basketball, which is just such a huge part of my life up to that point. And I just made a commitment to him. And so subsequent to that, there's a gal on the women's basketball team named Angie Piccioni who gave me a book by Wes Neal, which is a great book. So I want to mention the title. It's called The Handbook on Athletic Perfection. The book is what Angie thought would help me become a better basketball player as a Christian. She didn't know that I was not a Christian. And at the beginning of the book, it explains that Jesus died for your sins, and also he wants to take control of your life. And there's a motif of a little basketball player and a big one. And the big basketball player is actually stepping inside and playing through the little one. And I thought, first of all, I believe Jesus died for my sins. I'd seen enough sin in my life my first year of college. This is now at the end of my freshman year. I'm actually back home even processing some of this book's information, reading about the Bible that the book described. And I thought, I've seen enough sin in my life that I do need a Savior. I believe Jesus died for my sins. But even more than that, I like this idea that Jesus could come and live his life through me, especially if he could do it on the basketball court, because I'm about to go try out as a sophomore to try to make this college team, which would be my dream come true. Well, all the pain of my past basketball time in high school really motivated me to let Christ take control of basketball, and then pretty soon I just let him take control of every area of my life, and I had a peace in my life that I'd never had before. And I really even had a closer relationship with my dad, and I saw that I would, you know, with other people like my high school friends that I didn't always appreciate because they got to play and I didn't, I had peace towards them. And every time that I'd read the Bible and try to apply to my life, it would work. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit eventually that was working out his life through me as I read the Word. And so from the very beginning, I had this passion for the Bible, that the Bible really could change a person's life if you let Jesus live his life through you according to the Bible. So I went back, tried out for the team. There were 25 guys that tried out. This is October 15th, sophomore year of high school.
College.
What's that, Mom?
College. Sophomore year of college.
Yeah, thanks. So sophomore year, they cut 15 guys right away. And then they said to the other 10 guys, we're going to let you know after a little while who made it. We had to play 5-on-5 with a 10 that remained. And so about midnight, I get a call. And I'm up at my Phi Delta Theta fraternity at Stanford. And so I graduated from high school in 79. So this would be probably around 1980. October 15th again, for sure. And so right about midnight, I got an offer to try out, to actually be on the basketball team. The guy never really called me Darren. He called me Dano from Hawaii 5-0. And so, and I appreciate him so much. He just said, book him, Dano. You're on the team.
Wow.
And so that was a life-changing moment because, you know, again, all the dreams were coming true, but I really connected that with God, and I knew that God had done that. In fact, later I said to the coach, Dick DeBizo, I said, Coach, you know, God put me on this team. And he said, hey, Dano, you know, and he's a kind man. He just said, Dano, that was not true. I was in the meeting. The good Lord was not there. But he was trying to get me to understand that I was not on the team to start prayer meetings and do all this ministry, because immediately when I was on the team, I wanted to start trying to disciple guys, to do evangelism, to have a prayer meeting. So he marched me up in the bleachers about the fifth day of practice. He said, you gotta stop all this. You know, you're on the team. You know, you're never going to play here. He was really honest with me. He said, you'll never see the court, but you can help us in practice. If you come every day, not to have the prayer meetings, but to help us in practice, we'll be a better team, and we'll give you shoes, and we'll feed you, but you'll never see the court. Just, is that okay? And I said, that's fine. And that's how it all got started.
And then 2 years later.
Yeah, so then this coach was very kind because, again, he told me from the beginning I'd never play, but Mom and Dad were coming from Hawaii to the mainland, and he knew they were going to be at Stanford to see me play, or, you know, just to watch me sit on the bench. So he got me to play one game for 2 seconds. He wanted to get me in earlier, but no one would travel or do anything to cause the game to stop. So finally, 2 seconds left to go in the game, I got in. Well, that's 2 seconds more than I was ever promised. The next year, I got in 4 times towards the end of the game, and Stanford in each of those games was losing by a lot, so we weren't doing that well as a team, but he tried to get me into play whenever he could. Well, then he resigned, and another coach named Dr. Tom Davis came in. Some folks listening might recognize that name. He really did turn Stanford basketball around. And Coach Davis gave me a full scholarship. He said, you know, if you can just run my offense, you as in anybody, you don't have to be a scholarship athlete. You don't have to be a great athlete. But if you know enough basketball that you can run my plays, we're going to succeed here. And so he looked at me from watching me play and observing some of the pickup games again at the end of that junior year, and he said, you know, I'm going to give you a scholarship. I actually went in there and I kind of asked for it because I said, I don't think I can keep playing. I got to go home and get a job. I'm going to graduate next year. And he said, forget about all that. You got a scholarship. Huh. And so then I lettered. I actually traveled and lettered that year.
Love this story.
And so one more kind of interesting thing is, as a baby Christian, that first year at Stanford, I'd written in my Bible under Philippians 4:13, I will start for the Stanford basketball team, right after the coach said, you'll never see the court. Well, as a typical overachiever, I thought, well, God can do anything, he says. I can do all things through him who strengthens me, is what Philippians 4:13 says. I didn't really know that passage was about enduring hardship and living the Christian life under any circumstance. So I just thought, well, it must be about playing basketball. So I didn't really understand the word that well. Well, God later honored that naive trust in him, because my senior year, that coach said, if you're the first sub at your spot, I'll call you a starter. And I was the first sub. And so he said, basically, you're my starter. And so all that came to fruition just because God was showing how he was going to be faithful through this big part of my life, namely basketball. And he just taught me that he could do anything. And then that motivated me so much, Danny, to then do that for other people, because I thought, if God can take the biggest part of my life and make it like Christ, and let it be a place where he can show how faithful he is, maybe I can introduce Christ to other people and help them in whatever area is important to them. And so that's why I ended up coming into ministry for so many years with Campus Crusade for Christ, and now eventually with this ministry I'm in now, which is primarily discipling guys, just to get them in the Word, to find out what God's doing in their life so they can know the Lord better and then do that for others.
You ooze discipleship. Hmm. You said it. You've given us the process of how the Lord worked through you at a very, very core place, level, deep level of your life. And, you know, I marvel at the way God personalizes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
His way in reaching us. Mm-hmm. Hey, Darren. Ah, that boy, he loves basketball. And the Lord knows all the reasons why and where. Well, he even gave you that ability, not just the drive to practice, but the ability to consistently shoot the ball, you know, into the basket. Mm-hmm. And then to conceptualize things. He gave you the intellect. He gave you the ability to understand, to relate. Mm-hmm. And yet, amidst the frustration, it becomes a catapult moment.
Yes.
A catharsis moment to bring you into a life surrendered to him.
Yes.
And a life of discipleship. When we come back, let's go further.
Okay.
Talk about ministry and more. Stay with us, okay? We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, surprise of all surprises, you wouldn't think. You know, it's those things in life where it doesn't even occur to you that God could use somebody to reach you. You don't even think about it. Doesn't even reach the radius of thought. Doesn't even penetrate that.
Yes.
And that's the story of Darren and Suzanne Maurer. Mother and son. Hey, you're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm glad you're with us today. And you can find out more about this program and get the program in its entirety for free. If you're tuning in right now, hey, I want to encourage you to do just that. TheGoodLifeHawaii.com, that's how you can get it. To find out more about Darren Maurer, LogosLeadersOutreach.org. LogosLeadersOutreach.org. In our first segment, you talked about, Suzanne, you're talking about Darren says that tomorrow you're going to get a gift.
Okay. Yes.
What was that gift and how did it all happen that has changed your life?
Well, the interesting thing is that I was raised in a church attending family and we went to church every Sunday. And even when I went away to college, I always went to church. And after I had Darren, every Sunday I went to church. And I'm so thankful that the Lord drew me to church in that way. But no one encouraged me to read the Bible. Now, my dad, a couple of times when I was little, started out in Genesis, and we didn't even make it through Genesis. We probably got through about two or three chapters, and he'd close it up and say, this is just too hard. So I also want to encourage people. A couple of things from my perspective, please. Start in the New Testament if you're new to reading the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And the thing that's changed my life the most, and I'll go back in a minute, but God laid on my heart after Darren gave me this beautiful Bible for my 40th birthday. A few months later, I found myself on my knees one night, and I said, Lord, I don't understand this born-again term, but if it's important to you, I want it. And so I'm going to make a promise to you, Lord. I'm going to read from your love letter. And I learned that term from a dear friend, Gary Goslin, mm-hmm. that the Bible is the Lord's love letter to each of us. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to read from your love letter every day the rest of my life. And by God's amazing controlling grace, that was in October of 1981. So when Darren gave me this Bible for my birthday, I was thrilled. Because both my husband and I had seen a piece in Darren when he came home from Stanford that summer that was wonderful but different. It was very noticeable. He had a piece that passed all understanding. And I can't really take you to a day or a time, per se, when I gave my life to Christ completely. But I know that it was a few months after that commitment to read from his word daily that I realized I had a peace in me that I'd never experienced before. And so I just thanked the Lord, and I said, Lord, I believe I am born again. Mm-hmm. I believe that through your word, you have caused me and allowed me to be a born-again person in Christ, a new creation in you, Lord. And it was life-changing.
Mm-hmm. It seems like her mother nurtures son, and now at the age of 19, son is reaching out to and discipling mom, mm-hmm. which is really the moniker of your life. Mm-hmm. What was it in you, Darren, that made you center the Bible and impact her life the way that you have?
Well, the key for me was when I realized that Jesus had died for my sins and that also he could live through me. So I wanted mom to believe that, and she did end up believing that Jesus died for her sins. She'd probably heard that so many years in church, yes. But then she really decided to believe that he died for her and also let him take control of her life. And for me, the turning point is when you let him take control. And you could be a Christian maybe and not do that, but it's more assuring to know you're a Christian when you have let him take control. And so that was really a driving force in my life, is to help people understand that he could live through them. Just like he was living through me through basketball, I realized he could live through me through academics, future career, relationships, struggles. And so I just wanted mom to know that. And so I wanted everybody in my family to know that, and everybody outside of my family. And so it just... I guess, Danny, the big thing for me was I just wanted to spend the rest of my life helping people know that Jesus could take control of their life.
And I'm just one of, I honestly believe, hundreds of people that God has, through his grace, allowed Darren to touch their lives in this life-changing way. All credit and glory to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. He is saying something that just, it flows out, but I'm not sure if we're all catching it, and what he's talking about, you know, you use the image of that book, mm-hmm. the book that you saw that was given to you when you were playing basketball. Mm-hmm. You talked about the big person playing and the little person, and that you're understanding that the big person could play through the little person. Yeah. And so when you talk about that Jesus could live through me, this is a basic lesson of discipleship. Explain what you're talking about, because someone might be living the Christian life and doing their very best to do it, but living in frustration, haven't really understood this reality of Christ living through them, because we could really wear ourselves out,
right?
Can't we?
Well, just the other day, I was showing one of my children this picture that I had from college of me, and I was on the beach near Stanford, and I was looking very serious, and I wrote underneath this picture, Luke 9:23 and following. It says, "Then he said to them," he is Jesus, "then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. So that really touched me, because to me what Jesus is saying is, you cannot do it. You have got to deny yourself. The Christian life is me living through you. You deny yourself and let me live through you. You let me be Lord of your life. If you would let me be Lord of your schoolwork, your relationships, your problems, your hopes, everything in your life, then I will live my life through you. And the way you'll know is if you read the Bible, you'll see what it looks like. And you'll begin to see me doing these things through you that you read in your Bible. And so it all just made sense to me. I thought, you know, this is so simple, but it's so profound at the same time. The profound part is that he does it. The simple part is that I've got to deny myself. I've got to truly come to the end of myself. And when I do that, it's not like I'm working hard. It's not a struggle. It's a letting go. It's saying to God, God, you are great. You can do the Christian life through me. You come in. I'm going to read your word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to earnestly seek you. And at the same time, I know that this is all about you. And when a person gives Jesus lordship of their life, everything begins to happen the way God wants. It doesn't make it an easy life, but even in the hardships, you begin to see God working through you and you begin to know him. It says Jesus actually wants us to share in his sufferings. In Philippians, it talks about that. Paul said, I want to know the power of and the fellowship of sharing in the sufferings of Christ. And that's the power of the gospel, that in every situation in our life, we can experience and know God better because he's at work in us to accomplish his will. And we have to be willing to let his will lead us wherever he wants us to go. We have to be willing to suffer in a hard marriage. We have to be able to suffer in a hard job. We have to be able to suffer in a parental situation that doesn't turn out the way we hope. We have to be willing to rejoice. The Christian life isn't all suffering either. It's these moments of just pure joy where all your dreams, you know, I'm so happily married. I can't believe it sometimes that I get to spend the rest of my life with this best friend I met, you know, 27 years ago. Well, so it's a happy life. It's a struggle life. It's a deep life. It's a lighthearted life. I just want to tell everybody, let Jesus be Lord of it all.
And there's a peace that passes all understanding. Mm-hmm. And for me, Danny, if I can share, one of the things that's been very life-changing for me is my morning prayer of melt me, mm-hmm. mold me, fill me to overflowing with the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit, that you might delight in using me and that your kingdom would be increased. And then at night I'd say, Lord, did I bring a smile to sad faces? Did I live my life the way you would have me live this day? Mm-hmm. So that's the surrendering. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, he's the best partner you could ever want to have. Mm-hmm. It is a struggle, but it's also so joyful.
Yes.
That sometimes it's hard to contain the joy that mm-hmm. only Jesus can bring.
Suzanne Maurer and Darren Maurer talking about living the Christian life. Mm-hmm. A life of discipleship, and sharing with others how to live that life, sharing with you, my friend, sharing with you and me, and I'm grateful to hear it. I need to be reminded. I don't know about you, but maybe we all need to be reminded, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, when we come back, yeah, discipleship is, it's a word, but there is a weightiness to it, because it is life-changing discipleship. Darren Maurer has done it in Yugoslavia. He's done it at Rice University. He's done it among business people. And he'll share more about his experiences with us when we come back. Stay with us.
Aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. How they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Hey, how many can say they played basketball with the President of the United States? Well, then again, how many can say they actually grew up? You know, some guys might say, well, I know somebody that played basketball. I don't know. Did you grow up with him? Did you have him sleep over your house? Did he know your parents? I mean, did you hang out? Did he write, did he draw a picture of you and him? Yeah, I'm talking about the president of the United. Did he draw something that ends up in your yearbook that's etched there forever? Well, my guest can say that. Darren Maurer is in studio with us today. He's going to share about what happened when he played basketball with the president. As the president of the United States. I'm here, Darren and Suzanne Maurer. In fact, you can find out more about Logos Outreach, Logos Leaders Outreach at logosleadersoutreach.org. Okay.
Thanks, now, Danny.
Let's go back to this ministry that God has given you. Okay. How did it come about? You've been to Belgrade, Yugoslavia. You've been Rice University in Houston with businessmen, business leaders. But how did this ministry come about?
Well, it really came from a heart for wanting to get people to be in the Word and to know God better, and then to help others know the Lord better through the Word. And in fact, you mentioned President Obama. When we played basketball, when he was first president, he came up to me while we were standing one-on-one, just the two of us, and we'd been playing for about an hour and battling with each other like when we were kids, and we're just having the time of our lives.
Did his game improve?
Yeah, he's still a good shooter. He's a good slasher. He gets to the basket. Good rebounder. And it was amazing because when we were playing, you know, there was somebody like maybe one of his officials and, you know, maybe like the undersecretary of a department, and, you know, the Secret Service have their Aloha shirts at the Kaneohe Marine Base, and they've got some kind of weapon, I'm sure, underneath their Aloha shirt.
That's right. That's
so
right.
It's kind of surreal, right? And so, but like one time, well, I'll mention this comment that answers your question, but the kind of backstory of it is when we played basketball together, just played one-on-one a lot of times at Punahou, at my house. He says he learned to play basketball at my driveway out at our house when I was growing up. He knew where mom would make her cookies and how to find them in the house. And so we have this great history, you know, and so we're playing really hard in this moment now that he's president, and I'm just pretending just like he's a regular guy, like we were growing up, and he's enjoying the fact that there's no agenda. It's just us playing basketball again. And so one time I drove super hard into him and just pounded into him like the picture he drew in the yearbook, and he goes falling backwards, and I pulled up and I made a little about 10-foot shot, and you know, I'm thinking, this is the shot of my life, you know. I just was so happy. And so he kind of gathers himself, and he makes this motion like, back, you know, with a hand on the back of the head, like a charging foul. Like he's asking me to give him a charging foul. So I yell to the whole gym, "Not even," you know, like we're kids again. So about an hour after some of this intense competition, he comes up to me and he says, just the two of us again, "I know Jesus is your life. What do you do?" And it was the most humble question he could ask his high school friend. And I said, well, and I had already, you know, asked, you know, "What do I call you? Not your president." And he said, "Oh, you know, just Barry or Brock." And he was really, really humble and just, you know, it was like old times. And I said, well, I try to get guys to read the Bible. And prior to that, I told him, "I'm praying that Christ would control your life." And he said about five different times, right, Mom? And
yes.
We talked about this afterwards. Like five different times over this whole morning of playing, "I appreciate you." And so I know he cares for me as his friend. And so I basically told him, "I'm trying to get guys like yourself and others to read the Bible, like Mom, and to be an encouragement for the Bible to change them, to know God better through the Bible." And so that's why I do this job. This whole discipling ministry that I'm in right now is to get guys to be in the Word of God, to see that Jesus died for their sins, to see that they can let Him take control of their life, and then to be in someone else's life, pointing them to God. And it's so simple, Danny. I get together with people now, and I just tell them, "What's going on in your life?" And then they say something like, "Hey, you know, I'm having a hard time here. My boss is just, you know, always on me, and I can't stand it anymore. I don't know what to do." And so, okay, what, I don't know what to say. You know, "That's interesting. Tell me more about that." So I'll listen to their story. And I'm sitting there at a restaurant, let's say. Like if we were in Hawaii, it might be Zippy's. I just had Zippy's today. I got to have my plate lunch when I come home from the mainland. So let's say we're sitting at Zippy's, and I don't know how to answer their question. So I said, "Let's get out your phone." So we get out his smartphone. I say, "Put in the phone, 'I hate my boss,' and then put Bible. And let's just see what comes up." And, you know, 9 times out of 10, you can just do a Google search for whatever the life situation is and put Bible next to it, and you'll find some passage. And so even though I've been to seminary and I've tried to memorize, you know, a lot of the Bible, and I have some knowledge to share, a lot of times it's just being a co-learner with the person and entering into their life together as two people both trying to understand who God is and just finding out the Bible connection to their life. And then we talk together about what the Bible says about the situation they just shared. That's what I'm trying to do with, you know, whether it's the president of the United States or someone who's in a lot lower position in our society. You know, you mentioned I've done it in Yugoslavia. I've done it at some colleges, Stanford, Rice. I've done it. I led a homeless person to Christ in Houston and tried to do it with her in the context of a group Bible study. And so my theory is, and I've been doing this for about 30 years now, if you can just get together with a person, and I get paid for it. So I raise my own support, and people pay me to do this with 50 people instead of just a couple people. Mm-hmm. But if you could, I'm talking to anybody listening to the show, if you could just take your life right now with whatever knowledge you have of God and just say, "I'm going to meet with one other person. I'm not going to be the smartest person, but I'm going to just get with that person and I'm going to ask them 10 words. What have you learned recently about God from the Bible?" And then we can talk about sports. We can talk about life. We can talk about anything. But if I can just be in that person's life to ask him that one simple question, maybe every other week, maybe once a week, maybe once a month, that's discipleship, and anybody can do it. In all my years of trying to be a discipler of others, I found that if you can just get them in the Word of God, the Lord will change their life the way He wants. He'll give them the abilities to handle the different things going on that you have no way to relate to, but because you care, you go in the Word with them.
And we can't make the changes, actually. Many people don't go to church because they don't think their life's in order, they're not good enough, they've made too many mistakes. no, 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 please go, because actually it's the Holy Spirit that makes the changes mm-hmm. in us. Mm-hmm. And he knows exactly what we need. Did I mention the scripture in Romans 8:26? We don't even know how to pray as we should. But the Lord, who knows all things through the power of the Holy Spirit, is interceding for us 24/7. When I was the Christian ed teacher at Kamehameha that Danny referred to earlier, Kahukukana, I loved to see the expression on 752 little faces when I'd have the chance to share with them, do you know what Jesus is doing right now? And of course, they're just looking at me blankly. And I say, I share that scripture. And I say, through the Holy Spirit, the Lord is praying for us right now. Mm-hmm. We can trust him. He loves us. And it's just been a wonderful experience. We can trust him.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned prayer. You mentioned the president. And should we not pray?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Pray for the president?
Yes. And his family.
Family?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Please.
From the, you know, the his administration?
Mm-hmm. He does love my chocolate chip cookies, Danny. And I had a chance to make some for him about 4 years ago when he came for the APEC conference, 21 world leaders. I have never prayed over cookies more. And I had a prayer team praying over those cookies. We need to pray for him. We really do.
Darren, a parting shot. Okay. We've got about a minute or so left. In relation to discipleship, which really, you know, is driven in your heart, mm-hmm. A word of encouragement to us today in that regard.
2 Timothy 2:2 is probably the central passage. It says, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. So there's four generations there. There's the person who entrusted something to Paul. He gave it to somebody else who entrusted it to more. So there's a chain. You got to be a part of the chain. Who in your life are you discipling? It could be through a small group Bible study. It could be through any means. I think prayer is a part of this. But you've got to know that you're playing a part. What part are you playing? Jesus said, go and make disciples. That's the last thing he told the disciples, because we're one generation from extinction. If we don't pass on the message of Christ, no one else will. He uses people. So we've got to be a part of the discipling ministry somehow. Who are you discipling? Who are you coming alongside to encourage them to know God better through his word?
Darren Maurer, I appreciate you allowing me today to be with you and your dear mother, to partner with you.
Thanks,
in
Steve.
Your discipleship ministry, mm-hmm. to get more and more of us engaged, involved. LogosLeadersOutreach.org. You can find out more about Darren Maurer, find out how to become a part of his ministry, how to support his ministry, get the word out about this ministry of discipleship. Folks, that is the essence mm-hmm. of
and
the
if
Christian
there's
life.
Just a couple of seconds, prayer. Mm-hmm. If you're hearing this and you're feeling a holy nudge, just go to prayer and say, Lord, do you have someone you want me to disciple? Mm-hmm. Just pray and ask the Lord to guide you,
yes.
and he will.
Mm-hmm. He will indeed. Nothing quite like Suzanne Maurer sharing it, saying it. And dear one, I hope that you've been encouraged today by this
yes.
heart-to-heart sharing of Darren and Suzanne Maurer. You know, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. As you heard, 2 Timothy 2:2, you've heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to Darren and Suzanne Maurer. Find out more at LogosLeadersOutreach.org. And until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.